This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything.
Today we are very excited because we're joined by a special guest. We have Michael Vegas with us here today. If you are a true fan, you know that Michael has come up on multiple episodes. We talk about him in the gangbang episode. He is a major adult film fucking star, if I do say so myself. Ex Confessions, Belessa. He has a fucking AVN award. What else am I leaving out, Michael?
I have an X Biz award, and I just have a generally happy disposition in the industry.
Yeah, amazing.
And also, owner and operator of peghim.com.
Yay!
Yeah, which we'll be talking about later today. Very excited. Well, we'll be talking about now, but we have
that site is the culmination of like so many years of having to hide your fetish and then just one day being brave enough to be like, you know what? I'm going to make my fear make money for me.
Yeah.
And get all of the cool, weird sex that I want.
Yeah, way to flip the fucking script.
Yeah. Eat it, world.
Yes. So today's topic is gaping because you are kind of the pegging king.
I am the Gape Gatsby.
You're the Gape Gatsby.
Yes. That's how it all started.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I, you know, back when I was still hiding my face from all of this. Oh, so, like, let's go way back.
Yeah, let's go back to the origins of gaping.
You've been doing porn for 10 years?
I've been doing porn for 10 years. And, like, way back when I was still on, like, dial-up internet trying to find porno.
Oh, my God.
Some of the porno that I would come across is girls with big gape buttholes. And I was just like, I fucking love that. I still don't really have much of an explanation other than it's like, oh, look, you just look hollow. I don't know, why is that so cool? It's so cool.
Yeah, specific.
Anyway, and then, you know, when I was able to get faster internet and get more sexual material into my life as an adult, I saw more gaped buttholes in my life. I was like, yes, confirmed. Still really think that's super cool.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's what I would jerk off to and what I'd masturbate to. And I'd watch, you know, like the anal acrobats movies and the cool, like, big butthole movies.
And this is before you're a performer at all.
This is before I was a performer at all. This is just me as
exploring your own.
Just me as a weird pig going through the world.
Love it.
And like by this time, I already knew that I liked doing anal myself. I started doing anal when I was 16. And you know, God bless AOL chat rooms. Right? Touch your butt.
We talked about it many
times. Yes, lady. It's definitely a lady.
Will do.
Will do that.
Oh, could be a lady. Yeah. We'll never know.
Yeah. I think it is real, so therefore it is. But I already knew that I liked doing all that stuff. And when I was putting stuff in my butt, sort of shamefully before, because, like, you know, you hear so many women talk about, like, I don't want to become loose. I don't want to become a slut. And there's all this slut shaming that has gone on to them. And it's like, well, I mean, what other model do I have to go off of? Because I wasn't involved in the LGBTQ community or world or, like, the queer world of sex yet. And so it was just, like, I was just a shameful dude going through life trying to enjoy some anal.
Do you feel like you had an... And I'm just getting into it. Do you feel like you had an upbringing very contrary, like, to the more progressive, like, adult space? Or do you come from a family that, like, guests or supports or, like, is part of this world?
Man, it's been part of my confusion growing up. It's like my parents are so, like, they're such free as people. And they, like, leave me alone, hands off, do what I want. They are that they might not like that it says, but they're both basically nudists. Yeah. They go to nudist camps and they go to festivals and they walk around and they enjoy art and like they're very free sexually feeling, right? Except they fucking hate that I do porn.
Oh, it's like, really?
What? This,
what's that? Why,
where? From what?
Yeah.
From why? Like, I got to, my dad was, you know, he made movies. Like, he was an underwater cinematographer and, you know, created content for KO. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to out my dad. He created content for a cable news network and, like, educational content for a school. And, you know, he, so, like, why are you so mad that I'm doing this? Like, just because it's naked women, you guys love naked people, obviously. Yeah. Like, where is this? Like, I just couldn't.
Do you feel like you've ever figured out what that threshold is, or is it just like a weird stigma they have about it?
I think it's just a weird stigma and fear they have about it. And I also think it's an envy because I told the system to go fuck itself.
Yeah.
And I became happy.
But not the whole system.
Yeah. Yeah. I, you know, I broke the cycle of unhappiness. I watched my dad just get beat down by a very bureaucratic system. It's like, I don't want to. Oh, I died in a motorcycle accident in 2006.
You died?
Yes,
in
I died in a
motorcycle
accident in 2006.
Wow. Holy shit, you're a ghost.
Yeah.
Which is also a thing we're into.
God, I'm so pleased. I broke my neck and spine, collapsed a lung, and had like a brain injury, and I was in a coma for 2 weeks.
Oh my God.
And when I came back, the veil of bullshit was pierced completely, right?
Really
things
talking.
That just like, things like my parents being like, mad about stupid things, just like didn't exist to me anymore because I just saw life differently.
Wow.
And so I finally went and started doing something for myself, which was making adult films. I just wanted to live and do a cool thing before I died again.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So that kicked
off. Get it in. You never know when it's going to happen.
So that sort of kicked off your entry into the adult world.
So that kicked off my
performer.
Entry into the adult world as, no, that kicked off my entry into the adult world as a mainstream performer. I did gay films back in like 2004, I want to say, something like that.
Okay.
No, it must have been earlier than that. When I was 19.
Okay.
Whenever I was 19.
Okay, great.
And it was, so that was a phase in my life where it's like, I wanted to go find out if I enjoyed sex with guys.
Yeah.
Because, you know. You never fucking know.
Sure,
I just
why not?
Had a whole lot, like I had a really string of shitty relationships with women.
Okay.
So I was like, hey guys, I'm
maybe
gonna,
we need
I'm,
to go outside
maybe,
the box here.
Like maybe I'm not supposed to, like this isn't working out.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's the issue.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can figure that out. And so I wanted to have sex with a guy where it was a controlled environment that like this person wasn't allowed to fall in love with me. Right?
Oh. Interesting.
Right? Because like people, and that was a problem with what was happening with women is like, I'm here to have sex. I'm like 19. Yeah. I'm not trying to be your boyfriend forever. Like, let's just have some sex and be cool about it. But nobody would go for that. They all wanted to like be my partner forever. And I was just hurting people in these relationships. And I'm like, oh fuck, that's lame. Yeah. I'm an empath and I have to feel that. And like, now you hate me. No way, man. I'm like, let's go be gay. We can do it.
Yeah.
And so I went and I tried gay sex. I tried gay sex 9 times. And then it's just like, I mean, like dicks are cool. And like, men are attractive nude, but like I don't like male sexual energy directed at me in my personal space.
Oh,
it's just an uncomfortable feeling for me. And so it's like,
interesting learning process.
Yeah. And so I never expected to go back into adult films. And then I died. Yeah.
And
then
you
I was
died.
Like,
You're
I was like, wow,
let's go back.
let's go achieve what I wanted to do in adult films, but on the straight side, because like I saw how it could. How the ability to go do cool things and live a fun, cool lifestyle while making money is like, that's great. Let's go do more of that. So I got into adult mainstream films by convincing people. I'm a handsome, charming person. So
not a difficult task.
Yeah, you just convince your way on in. That's how I tell people. How'd you get into porn? Well, I convinced someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you're trying to convince me now? It's not working. I'm better at it than you. I got in, started doing movies and just, it all worked out. And bringing it full circle back to gaping, it's like, you know, you do anal scenes. And I know these people now. And like, I still have this this fetish, except now I have access to people that through hearing them talk about their enjoyment of pegging and playing with guys' butts, it made me realize that's like, okay, this is a safe space to like let my fetish out a little bit and to talk about some people with it. And so because I was able to build a community around this, it started making me feel more comfortable to out myself about it with certain people, and then with certain people, and then with certain people. And along the way, I had you know, going back to how I got into like butt stretching and gaping stuff. one day I was getting a blowjob in my parents' bathroom from Sasha Hart. And she is like putting her fingers in my butt, because like this time I was already doing adult films. And it was like, okay, you know, she likes butt play. I like it. She's sticking me in there. Great. She just like kept doing more. And she like, she has tiny hands and almost put her whole hand in my butt. And I was like, that was fucking awesome, guys. Why not do the whole thing? I like, like, I want to see it. I like watching people try to do it.
So
I was in adult films, and it was just sort of an unexpected thing. I wasn't like trying to push my anal abilities at that point in time. I just was accepting that I liked things in my butt.
The gaping element of it sort of built organically sort of, from a kink you had already.
I wasn't trying to make myself have that. But one day when she put her hand in, I was like, okay, I can try bigger things. I like the feeling of that stretch.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, you... A million sex toys later, you get to a thing. It's like I learned how to make myself gape from just playing with, by myself, looking in the mirror, looking at my butthole, doing cool things.
Yeah.
I learned like what you do with your body to make this happen.
It's
a very scientific anal experiment to come up with all these techniques.
Yeah. By the way, Rachel, do we feel like we need to technically define what gaping is? I mean, why not? Sure. In case people don't know. Like, so... something often used in anal pornography, when an object such as a man's penis or a dildo, sex toys, etc., is inserted into someone's anus, stretching it, then it being removed, and the anus remaining open, meaning it's possible to see inside. See also ass cave. I took this from Urban Dictionary. Do you feel like that's a complete definition?
That sounds pretty accurate
to me.
I
feel like you get to be our resident expert
here. I think Urban Dictionary has done it justice.
Awesome.
Yeah, as the gape gap, see.
What? Sorry, go ahead, Rachel.
I was just going to say, and it's also like tricking basically like your inner sphincter that your bowels are full, right? Like that's like how it happens.
So the way to do it
is, here we go.
So like gaping is the opposite of prolapsing.
Okay.
When you relax your abdomen, all of your inner workings can move up with gravity.
Wow.
And just like... and so like
science.
When they relax and move in, the walls of your intestines are allowed to relax and go. And so like, like the weight of your intestines is trying to pull
and it creates a suction, right?
Like the same as if you're like, you hold a glass of water upside down in the pool and you try to lift it up and you feel it. And then all of a sudden it breaks that surface tension and the air goes in and goes, and like all the water comes out, right?
Yeah.
So if you were able to do that without gravity the other way, I should speak into the microphone. It's like pulling, and if you can make your asshole relax, air will go inside you. So like if you've ever been on your stomach face down, ass up, and you feel air go in, you're like, oh, I'm going to have to fart. Like that is the precursor to gaping. Like just keep
that, like,
practicing that relaxing. Yeah. And it comes with like big toy stuff, because you like, in order to get it in, you have to practice relaxing your butthole. And when you, you know, you practice a bunch and you do it a bunch regularly days in a row, the muscle becomes like, just like you're doing yoga, it becomes stronger. And when muscles are strong, they can relax. You know, like I have weak hips.
It's about that like strength.
Yeah, I have weak hips, so I can't fold forward all the way. But like if I had nice strong hips from doing yoga all the time, I would be able to do a complete forward fold.
Yeah.
Same sort of concept. So there's like strength that creates it.
This is highly educational.
Right?
It is. I'm loving it. Talk to us a little bit more about your butthole. How did you know? Do you feel like this is something specific to you, or do you feel like anyone can gape?
Anyone can gape.
As big.
Anyone can gape. You, and so the diameter of your gape is directly correlated to how big of a thing you put in it to like make your butthole muscle stretch. If you've seen
The same way,
so
we're
like you've masturbated to the peg him stuff. It's like so often at the end of the video, I'll say like, look, goes right back to normal. He's like, I'm trying my best, team, to give you the biggest gape possible and to like give you an impossibly open asshole to where you're just like, oh my God, what? But every single time it gets slightly more difficult, because it's like my butthole gets actually tighter at the end.
That's It's nuts.
Interesting.
Yeah. So everybody that's thinks it's like, oh, you have
I like want to believe you that everyone can gape, but like my butthole is fucking Fort Knox. Mm-hmm. And
believe in yourself, Rachel.
It has the personality of like a prude, like middle-aged Catwoman.
To start, doing anal, touch your butt when you use a Hitachi. Learn to train your body and mind that when you're having an orgasm, your butt will be touched. And it's like, you get it to relax. It's all about relaxation.
It's called anal training for a reason, too. It's actually about, like, the muscles, training. Like, learning how to behave in this kind of interaction. Right.
And so much of it is, like, you know, you can, everybody can wink their butthole and you can clench your butthole, but, like, that's not what you're concentrating on for a gape.
Yeah.
You're concentrating on putting your intestines lower than your butthole so they can, like, move up and forward and then relaxing your abdomen.
Very cool.
You need to be like butt up,
right?
You know,
do you have any other like
has to be higher
butt stuff tips that we should throw to our listeners, like douching beforehand, any of that stuff?
If you enema beforehand, now before I started doing mainstream porn, I was a nurse, or you know, I went through LVN school.
So you really
school
do have like a scientific understanding of this physiology.
I gave a bunch of people enemas.
Yeah.
So like I knew how to enema myself. And so I enema myself. And like when you have a nice clean butthole, it gives you, we've all been shamed so much from childhood around poop. And it's like,
it's
dirty. It's gross. It's like, ew, nasty diaper, nasty. And so like, it's all this psychological thing that gets put in your head to where there's just like, ew, shit. No way.
Yeah.
And so after being a nurse, it's like, man, I touched so many other people's poop. Like my poop was the least of my problems at this point. So like clean your butthole and you clean it out, and gives you this confidence to be able to really bear down and push out, which is the opposite of what you're doing when you're gaping. This is how you prolapse, is bearing down and pushing out.
Yeah. Right.
And you can do that with confidence that you're not going to shit on the floor.
Right.
And like, that's a nice feeling.
Yeah.
It's nice to be like, okay, this won't be a clean, or this won't be a messy process. It can be a clean thing to deal with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to briefly step away from gaping, because we will come back to it. I'm just a nerd about like the industry and business models. And like, I read your interview on Vice and where you talked about MindGeek. And like, I'm curious from the inside, like, a big thing that we try to do on this podcast is direct people to porn, like created by the performers, that's vetted and you know, as ethical as we can hope for it to be, meaning there's transparency around like consent and boundaries and compensation and all these key elements. Is there anything that from the inside, like we should know or our listeners should know about like how to watch porn, what to avoid, like how do we support sex workers and porn performers in our consumption?
So when I created The Gape Gatsby, I understood that, like, you know, I was just putting this on the internet for free because it was my fetish, and like I needed, like, I'm an exhibitionist. My hole loves attention, and so I like had to show it off anonymously. That's how The Gape Gatsby started.
Gotcha.
And it was just a Tumblr blog. God rest your soul, Tumblr.
R.I.P.
And so
Instagram's on its way there too.
And it was like, will people pay for this? I don't know. I need to figure out. It's like, I don't want people to have to pay for this because I don't think they will. I wasn't confident enough that there were enough people looking for it yet. But it's like, just like music sites, like how are people getting paid for clicks and for looks now? So I started paying attention to that. And the, you know, Pornhub was really, you know, the leader in the, of the pack and what I was looking for. And they started doing the Model Hub thing where it's like you get paid per per like, not per like, you get paid per view. $30 per thousand views.
It's $30 per thousand.
$30 is, that's essentially what it's at right now.
Wow. Okay.
I'm like, holy shit, guys, there are hundreds of thousands of views. Some, like, I have a video that has over 1 million views.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's super cool.
Okay. Those numbers are good to know.
Those numbers are good to know.
Yeah.
And it makes
That's specifically like verified Pornhub. Obviously you're just like watching verified Model Hub stuff,
but there's
uploaded.
There's also ManyVids, and there's also all of these means of content distribution that is in performers' hands now. And so instead of having to adhere to what a lot of companies want you to be or do, which is where so many people feel personal boundary violations come into play, I mm-hmm. feel. It's like you really wanted to play this game, and so you compromised yourself a little bit to do it, and you weren't happy with the outcome.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. you know, I was talking about this with Susie Q on the way here, my partners. It's yeah. like, man, no wonder people feel so taken advantage of in this business. It's so many times because, like, the entertainment industry is always trying to take advantage of you.
It's yeah.
And the entertainment, it's just sort of the nature of the beast.
Yes. And the entertainment, like the traditional entertainment industry is exploitative mm-hmm. in and of itself, adding like risk of sexual abuse into right. that mix
so
is incredibly
like
problematic and dangerous potentially if, you know, right. If in the wrong hands,
yeah.
you know, like it's hard enough to be in the regular entertainment industry and not, you know, be exploited. So putting your body and your labor in line with sex work is also like just extra complicated.
Right. And just like with SoundCloud, how everybody can be a musician now mm-hmm. with Pornhub, everybody can be a pornographer now.
Yeah.
Right. Or everybody right. has access to a cell phone camera
uh-huh.
and an internet mm-hmm. signal.
Yeah.
Like anybody with those two things or any sort of camera and a way to upload it to the internet can
yeah.
make money from making pornography now through Pornhub.
Yeah.
And right. it makes it so you don't have to do anything you're not willing to do.
Yeah.
Outside.
The controls
like,
in
yeah,
your hands.
The controls in your hands.
Right. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That's been a real big game changer of yeah. how the
I'm really, really glad to learn that Pornhub pays per view.
Me too.
And that it isn't just like I assumed it was sort of a like YouTube like structure
mm-hmm.
where you yeah. can monetize
it pays
to get to
much
a certain
better
point.
Than YouTube.
It pays for like yeah. that number is yeah. a lot better, especially based on views, because yeah. YouTube you only monetize once I think you hit like 10,000 mm-hmm. views. And yeah. even then, it's, like, based on your ad choices. And, like, if you do some shitty, like, pre-roll ads, whereas obviously, like, you know, Pornhub, if it's based on views, that's pretty incredible.
Yeah, there's also, you know, you can sell the so you can put free videos mm-hmm. and you get paid less per view. And
yeah.
then you can put videos that fall into the premium category and you get paid. That's
right.
where you get the $30 per thousand views. And you get paid
gotcha.
More per view. And then you can
right.
put it on a paid content
mm-hmm.
and you can just sell videos right
yeah.
from there. So there's
videos,
multiple
yeah.
ways to sell the same content and to get paid for the same thing. So
that's
it's like
great.
You just
yeah.
have to, you know, it's not exactly intuitive,
mm-hmm.
but there are people that work at Pornhub specifically to help models do better
uh-huh.
if you're willing to contact them and get the information of like, how do I make this work? And they'll
yeah.
tell you and like break this up. This is what
yeah.
this is what gets you what. And
tech support yeah. and also some light like marketing tips, I'm
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. But like anything, it's a self-made business.
Yeah. And the other cool thing now is yeah. like all of these, you know, I have so many people that hit me up. It's like, okay, I wanna get into porn. How do I do porn? It's like
yeah.
Do you want to get into porn or do you want to have sex with these porn stars?
Right.
Yeah.
Because I don't think you will be very good at sex with these porn stars if that's what you're just trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to do porn? Why haven't you already started doing it?
Mm-hmm.
What's stopping
yeah.
you?
Yeah.
Are you out there naked on the internet? Have you been trying to like do solo videos? Are you do you have
yeah.
friends that will do and like find
yeah,
someone? There's
yeah.
someone that will make
yeah.
porno with you.
Yeah.
If you
right.
present yourself in a professional manner.
Yeah.
If
right.
if you start making content that looks like it can sell.
Yeah.
Like
right.
That's how you get into mainstream porn now.
Yeah.
If you look like you're sellable on
yeah.
the internet, people you can go, hey, look, I made this, and they'll go, oh. Okay, maybe we will give you a chance.
Yeah, and there
right.
are resources
right.
if you look for them. Like the solo cam space is so huge, that seems like such an obvious like entry
mm-hmm.
point if you
mm-hmm.
do want to get into making scenes.
Right.
And like I'm actually developing a TV show
yeah.
right now about camming. So I've got like a nerdish amount of research there. And there's like incredible articles where established successful cam people go on and fully give you like a marketing plan and like tell you how to build your
yeah.
business and
yeah.
like what sites you can go on and like what rates are acceptable. Like the internet is such a resource now
mm-hmm.
and that there's so much transparency around like,
mm-hmm.
here's how we're all doing it. Let's look out for each other, which is really cool. Really fucking cool. All right. Anyway, we can stop nerding out about the industry and get back to gaping and buttholes.
Well, I wanted to know is if there's anything specifically about the industry that like you would like to see change.
Mm. Oh, I have one more question after that reminded me.
Ooh, I guess this all I guess it all sort of ties back to criminal justice reform and
okay.
the inability
yeah.
of marginalized communities to have safe reporting in law enforcement spaces.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Like, if any of these problems happened, you could go to the police and get it dealt with if the police weren't the ones raping and killing everybody.
Yeah. Or weren't the ones to, like, shut down an operation if they find out about it rather than protecting the people that were vulnerable in whatever situation.
Or like, let's say I get robbed at work. Or, for example, actually happening right now, Jane Doe sues her agent because she basically forced him into sex work because he wasn't getting her regular jobs, but he would sue her if he tried to get out of her contract, and so she had to go do escorting stuff. Great. Her agent, Derek Hay, being sued for this right now. Everybody should know. He's a sex trafficker.
Tell him. Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, man, I'm just, you see, sit back. It makes me so mad.
It's all right. We're all getting worked up. Yeah.
But the, if any of these people could have gone to the police when this was a thing, when this happened to them in the beginning, that would be great. We would have solved all of this.
Yeah. There's a really unfortunate dynamic that because sex work is so stigmatized still, that we're continuing to marginalize rather than protecting bodies and like bodies and people and their agency and their source of income. And it actually like it purports to be about fighting sex trafficking while actually making it worse.
So much worse.
Contributing to these issues that I think we all agree we don't want teenagers like dying on the streets because someone is taking advantage of them. And and marginalizing sex work is not fucking helping.
How about this? Like, so street-based sex workers, if they were able to go to the cops and say, hey, I think this girl out here is being trafficked by someone. I think this girl has no other way to go. Like, she seems like she needs help without fear of actually being murdered or raped by the person they're reporting it to. Because if you look up the incidents of sex workers raped and murdered by law enforcement, it will drive you mad. It is insane how many documented cases of it there are. It's just like, holy fuck, people. Like, of course there's a problem.
Of course there's
a problem. So that's what I want to see changed is the reporting systems.
And specifically to educate our listeners, and I have a limited knowledge of this, but the aim is decriminalization rather than legalization, correct? Because legalization means regulation, whereas we just want to decriminalize, like give people the power to go to the authorities and report other crime without putting themselves at risk.
Right, exactly. Yeah. It's not like we don't, we're doing great. Outside of that, we're doing pretty great. You know, we try to self-regulate as much as possible.
It does seem like a very engaged, transparent, supportive community because it has to be.
When you're in people working in the most vulnerable positions, you know, you can be.
Yeah. One more question.
Ooh.
What do you think the like near and far future of porn looks like?
It's a big ass question.
I'm not exactly sure. I love the direction that it's headed because it feels like it's gotten back into movie making. Adult Time really made it so the cinema production of quick turnaround scenes. Not just, you know, people were still making movies. Wicked was out there and Digital Playground's always been out there. There have always been feature movies being made. But getting smaller scenes turned into things that felt cinema quality was really something that they brought to filmmaking. And, you know, Craven and Brie really were just revolutionary in doing that. And it's like, cool. Like movie making came back. This gonzo porn is like, it's there. It exists in a way, but it's also blended into more fun and art, which is another reason why I got into this. Like, I love movie making. It's so cool. And like how fun to get to live fantasies and play characters. I'm an actor. I love getting to play characters.
Yeah.
So it's really fun to get to play characters with people that also really wanted to play. You know what I mean?
That's rad. Love that. Rachel, shall we take a quick break?
Yeah, let's take a break.
Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Okay, and we're back.
We're back.
Talking more about gaping. So I was really curious. I couldn't find a lot of stats about it. Pornhub didn't give me any fun stats. But I was curious as to like why, you know, the psychology behind gaping and like why people like it to do it or to look at it. And so I found some things on the internet told me a few things. Obviously, the number one thing being like more like comfortable insertion for anal play, which makes sense.
Oh, you're saying that like gaping as a concept is just associated with like just building more comfort around anal play.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Easier insertion of toys, cocks, et cetera, into your butthole without the fear of tearing, bleeding, discomfort. Partner pleasing. Also an act of submission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the BDSM community, people, I guess, like to do it as an act of submission to their master.
Mm-hmm.
And then the number one thing, it was like ego. Like a lot of people were like, I would posit that it makes you feel like if you are a penis haver, you've like stretched out a butthole because your cock is massive.
Yes.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
It's,
I feel like that's a big thing.
You know, it naturally comes like the first time that people will start gaping typically during anal sex is like when you finally have started getting into a rhythm. It's like you've gotten it in, the anus is relaxed, the first sphincter is relaxed, and you've gotten in the length of the dick, right?
Yeah.
And you're able to like actually fuck. And by that time, they have relaxed their butthole around your dick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so the gape comes when you just pull it out.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And that's where it's like, that's why you see people like fucking and fucking, fucking, then pulling out. It's like because of that, like fucking to the like a depth to where you can now get at least some of your intestine opened up, like the length of a dick, it will make it gape.
Yeah.
And so it's like, fuck, gape. And so it's like also
and that's like a fun
well-used butthole, relaxed hole. A relaxed hole is a receptive hole. And so it's like this willingness to be receptive to something going into the anus. And so it's like, man, I don't want to hurt people when I'm fucking them. I want them to enjoy it. And so it's like, if you're gaping, that's like a pleasure. You were able to relax.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like on the receiving end also it is a largely like physical experience for you, or is there like a psychological element of like taking a dick from a woman that like you gravitate towards?
I mean,
a dildo, let's say.
They're all dicks.
Yeah, they're all just dicks.
Yeah.
It's all just dicks. I love the way it feels. I like being relaxed. It makes me relax my hips in a way that other things don't from that motorcycle accident and from like all sorts of other traumas in my life. I have very tense hips. Also, I sit in a car and drive hours in Los Angeles traffic, and getting to be in a position where I'm able to like relax my hips and move them and like adjust my body. And like, you know, when you're doing yoga poses and sitting in different ways, it allows you to feel your body. And when you are being penetrated from the inside and being stretched from the inside, and like, you know, it's a game. You got to like work to see how things fit in and like how you have to move yourself. So it taught me a lot about my body. And you know, so it's physical on many different levels and psychological from the standpoint of like, I want to impress her with my butthole.
Yeah. So. I want to blow her mind with my butthole, baby.
Oh, God. That's one of my favorite experiences. And you can see it on Peghim. Like, there's some people that have never done it, and some people that have seen it, and some people that I even, like, told beforehand. I'm like, here, watch this.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah. And then they get there, and it's like, you can watch the looks on their face. It's just a dumbfounded, like, even though I told them, it's still, like, in person, it's just like, wow.
Yeah.
Well, okay.
Yeah. I chose.
That's all righty.
I chose the one we're featuring today because it was like a first time experience with Hazel.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of liked the idea of her being like a newbie and just like getting to know your world and your gape.
Hazel, I love this story. I was at the Apex Spread the Love party. We're doing a pool party at the W Hotel downtown, and I was just sort of wrapping up my night, and I was trying to go see Anna Fox, who I thought was over at this cabana, and I'm just kind of standing around, and everybody's moving around me, and I finally just like, man, I feel like I'm in the way of everybody, and I step back, and I step on this pair of shoes, and the girl on the other side of the bench was like, oh, excuse me, can you hand those to me? I'll get them out of the way. I was like, oh, yeah, sure, and I turn around and hand her shoes, and she's just like, oh. And she was like totally starstruck about me.
Like,
I just feel like a guy. Like, I'm just some guy, right? And so when that happens to me, and she's like, oh, it makes me feel so cool.
Oh, that's sweet.
And so I was just like, I was super appreciative of it. And she doesn't realize how good it makes me feel. And she's like super happy. And so she's like, oh, I'm sorry. If I knew it was you, I wouldn't have asked you to get me my shoes.
I was
like, I'll tell you what. Come over here and sit down, and I'll put your shoes on. So I made her sit down, and I put her shoes on for her,
cute.
And I sent her along her way. But you know, she is shooting content, so I always, you know, the constant content hustle involves a lot of people not showing up to appointments because, like, who knows why people are just flaky in LA.
Yeah,
and I think it's the traffic.
Yeah, so, we blame the traffic anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So we finally got to shoot a scene where we did a regular sex scene that day, and then we did a pegging sex scene that day. And it's just
very cool.
Yeah, like how fun! Cool. Like, it's so fun to have sex with somebody that's so excited to have sex with you.
I have to say, watching this video, the video is Hazel Gray's first time pegging scene from Peghim.com. And I've loved immediately just like how excited she was.
Yeah,
like, she was like nervous and like giddy and like. You know,
she
I
was like, everyone needs to know I have a crush on Michael Vegas. So I was like, fucking me too. Let's do this.
And it was fascinating to hear like her experience, like working in a sex store and how she was, you know, helping people kind of explore like anal play and specifically pegging, and how excited she was to talk about how she fit her fist in someone. And then also like her foot. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is what I look for.
Yeah, she was telling me about her, the dude she put her foot in his butt, and I was just like, man. Like, you know, as somebody that's like really, really trying to push the limits and like butt play stuff, it's like you keep your eye out for other people.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I feel like you have the market cornered. Yeah, you've got the market cornered, but I'm sure you're looking behind you like, who's coming for the next, like, who's the next Gabe King trying to take your
not trying to be the number one headband. It's a dangerous position.
Yeah. Honey, I think you got it.
Yeah. So this is the video that we're featuring essentially opens on this interview where Hazel talks about her experience, sort of her own sexual exploration, working in a sex shop, and that like leading her to a better understanding and even like leadership in like the anal space, we'll call it. Specifically also working in the South where sex shops are
homophobia
few abounds. And far between and homophobia abounds, making it more difficult to talk about ass stuff.
Yeah.
So that was just really cool and enlightening. And she was so endearing and sweet and excited. And it was just a really, I also just like love a video that kicks off with just like a natural conversation. You feel like these people are comfortable with each other. It just makes me feel comfortable watching and enjoying the video, being like, look, everybody's cool here. Like everybody knows what's happening and everybody has agency.
Right. Everybody has agency. And like we all want to be here. And the sex that you're going to see is two people that really want to be having sex with one another.
Yes.
Like that's always fun to watch.
Yes. That's really, especially in the fucking dream. It's just like, I believe these people desperately want to be fucking each other. And it's funny how that can be so rare when there is so much content out there. So
that's why people like amateur porn.
Yeah.
Because like,
they want to believe
it. They want to believe it.
Yeah. And that's why it's tricky, because sometimes amateur porn, you just like don't know where it's coming from if it's just like on an aggregate somewhere. So it's nice when performers post it themselves. So yeah, the video evolves. We have multiple dildos that she brings into play. She's got a strap on that she starts with. She brings in a rainbow unicorn horn that I loved. And then I don't even know how to describe the third sex toy. I was like, it looks like an extra like a twisted tentacle. Like bread dough in the form of a like sex toy.
Oh, I thought it was like literally like a tentacle. Like,
yeah, it
was
did like, actually it have like kind of a tentacle
something
vibe.
That belonged on like a sci-fi.
That
show.
Is called the Slink Vortex, made by Square Peg Toys.
Square Peg Toys.
Yeah, Square Peg was one of the original like. And maybe the original that I ever knew of makes like large sex toys.
Yeah.
Before Oxballs was around, don't quote me on this, but I heard of them before I heard of Oxballs, before Bad Dragon existed, before Mr. Hankey's, before any of these really big toys started showing up.
Yeah.
Old
school.
They were their signature soft silicone materials that sort of like amber orange. Sparkly thing, which is the color of that bread dough looking.
Yeah,
thing,
it has like a sort of sparkly but like brown orangish like color. I was like, I'd eat it.
So the slink, the original slink, is just totally smooth.
Oh,
all
got
the way across.
It.
And
then this is a twisty one.
This is the slink vortex.
The slink vortex.
I couldn't believe. I was like, there's no way it's gonna go all the way. I was like,
where
this thing's
right. It's amazing.
The depth of that.
It's like, amazing.
Yeah,
it's gonna disintegrate in stomach acid. Like, there's no way.
Yeah,
but it did.
I was like, is it gonna come out? Mouth. Like, how does the human body do this?
Yeah, no, I can't clear my sinuses by blowing my nose. So I do it from the back.
Yeah, you just use one of those. Get a little tickle.
And then the final event is just a very large, like stunningly large black dildo.
Yes.
I mean this with the utmost respect and admiration. Your butthole lost all meaning.
Yes.
Like, I truly was just it just like defied science. Like, it was.
Yeah, it blew my mind. I mean, my mind was blown through like so many times whenever I like watch like gaping videos.
Yeah.
But, like, this, I was like, holy shit.
And she has two hands on this thing and is throwing her like full weight.
Oh, yeah.
Just to like get it all the way in there. I just was like, this is the most impressive shit I've seen in a while.
Yeah. So when people are pushing against it and like, you know, it's huge, and sometimes your body's just like, no, you're not going to do that. And like, my brain's like, fuck you, yes, I am. So, like, you have an uncontrollable core contraction, which is that, like, sort of like, you know, and you have to really puke, and you're just like,
oh boy.
But it's like, it's not a puking feeling, it's just your body
you have to sort
squeezing
of
everything
through
out.
That, I imagine.
And so that push, like, you have to push against that. And so when you see people like really getting in there, like trying to get against it.
Yeah,
it's
she kept saying you were like stronger than her, because she's essentially like fighting your like core, like your abs almost, like that muscle system. Yeah. What were you going to say, Rachel?
You want abs? Do more anal.
After watching a lot of gaping videos, I was wondering if that is something that happens like close to climax.
Yes, because
like your body, because like I know, like when I'm coming, like my like core like seizes, you know what I mean? So it's like, I wonder if that's like something like when you're close or like something's really pleasurable.
Yeah, you know, doing anal also taught me so much about my dick.
It
taught me taught me about my prostate. It taught me about when I relax my body, what happens and where blood flow goes.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm really relaxed, blood flow will also go to my penis, but you also have to learn to contract the muscle that holds the blood into your dick to maintain an erection. It's like all sorts of weird blood flow and relaxed versus contracted and like hip position and things that I learned from this. Like, if you want to be better at your dick, do more anal, everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
tell them.
Pro tip.
Tell them. Amazing.
Yeah. So,
go ahead.
I just had a lot of work days. And it was at the end of the work month, and I was just like, you know, my dick just wasn't feeling it. I was like, man, I feel like I'm getting stressed out. I'm going to work. My dick just didn't want to stay hard like it would. And I got fucked in the ass really good by my girlfriend. And it made me relax everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I started getting like fucking great erections again
yeah.
right afterward. And I was like, holy shit.
It's amazing how mental that can be.
Because I had tenseness in my pelvis, I was preventing blood flow from going to my dick.
And that was like mental stress and like too much work.
Yeah.
Fascinating. Yeah. Fucking fascinating. Yeah. What a cool girlfriend.
Yeah. learn to relax your anus, everyone. You can have better erections.
Amazing.
Talk to me about the lube that you use.
Oh my God.
Okay,
yeah,
I can't out his secret because he told me, but I met somebody that has like the best lube mixture possible.
Okay.
But the base of the lube is called K-Lube, which it is a new iteration of J-Lube, the original.
Okay.
J-Lube from the gay fisting world, you see that lube that just looks like slime that comes off people's hands.
Yeah, it's got a viscosity to it.
Yes, it is a powder-based lube that was created for animal obstetrics. So when you need to fist a cow's butt to see if it's pregnant, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to hurt the cow, and you need something that's
really
slick and organic and water. And so it's water-based.
Maybe the cow's into that. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's all water-based. The bottle's about as big as the bottle that comes in is about as big as your water bottle.
Yeah, it's like a bike bottle.
Yeah.
It's like the bottles that you see like the Tour de France.
Exactly.
Like I was like, this is
so
epic.
It comes in a bottle that big. That's all powder, and that will make 6 gallons of lube.
Holy shit!
So you can just like keep making more in it. So it's really abundant. It's like $27 for that bottle for 6 gallons of lube.
Holy shit!
And so you can just make it, and like, you know, it doesn't. Unlike other lubes, it creates this weird, like, jelly monster, and it sticks to it, and it creates like, this amniotic sac around
things. Yeah, it almost, like, has a...
It's extremely like protective.
An alien sac quality. Like, it has, like, almost a sci-fi vibe.
Yeah, and
like,
so
the way that it behaves and, like, sort of sticks and stretches.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, the molecular structure of it makes it so there's, like, always a little like barrier between things. And one of the reasons that people stop liking anal is because like it will start snagging your butthole even with silicone lube. It hurts if you're not ready for it. And like when you're trying to push in, things aren't slipping past one another, which is usually why people are like, oh no, stop. Like with this stuff, even if you are clenching, it will still slide past.
Yeah.
It is slick. It's like,
damn.
Pro tip, and sorry to all of the people in my fire academy that are, maybe you'll hear this. If you do, God bless you. I used to take, because 2 teaspoons per like water bottle size, right?
Uh-huh.
Of powder makes, like that's a lot of lube.
Yeah.
Well, when I was in the fire academy, one of the pranks that I used to do was put this in people's turnout boots. So when you get called, like they call you to line up quick and you're like, you got to put your shit on, like you're ready and responding for a fire, right?
And be clear, fire academy isn't like fireman training.
Like fireman training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're standing there and like your feet get sweaty after a while, but not when you've just put them on. And so I can't figure out.
No.
They're like, what?
Like their boots are
what?
Just slipping.
Like why?
Turning
like
into
slippery
lube.
And like you can feel it between your toes. And like,
oh my God.
That's good.
Amazing.
That's very good.
I always wanted to put it in my high school hallway and just like sprinkle it, right?
Yeah.
Because when they try to clean it up, it will just become more lube.
Yeah.
It just keeps producing.
It just keeps making
it
more
multiplies.
Lube. Yeah.
I feel like somehow I'm going to take advantage of this tip.
Please.
Like somehow I'm going to prank
There's
Rachel at her fucking wedding
really
with like
stuff.
Lube on the aisle. I can't wait.
And if it's the right partner, they're going to love
it. Amazing. Should we move on to Fruit Loops before we wrap up? So the final video we're going to talk about, I think of it as a classic.
It is one of the sacred texts.
Exactly. This
it really is.
This is biblical level throwback porn.
Mm-hmm.
It is eating Fruit Loops out of Ruby Ray's epic butthole.
Roxy Ray.
Oh, thank you. So, God, I'm just all full of typos today. Mm-hmm. Roxy Ray's epic butthole. And I didn't even know if this was the original. Like, I looked to try and find the source, but it's probably old enough that it's just, like, floating around at this point. If you're not familiar, we put a speculum into Roxy's butthole, gape it, and then
Fruit Loops milk and enjoy a meal. And then a fuck after the meal.
Yeah.
Which is pretty.
This is like a video that I thought was like urban legend. You know, it's like one of those videos where you're like, I don't actually think that it's real. Like, I feel like someone just told me about it. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'm like, you know, of course there's a porn of that. But I was like, I'll believe it when I see it. And boy, do I believe it now.
She's one of my inspirations. She was one of the girls that
she is a major gaper.
Famous. Yeah. She has a very famous butthole as well, because like she's known for gaping and also like prolapsing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember seeing her content and just being like, okay, like I love, she's really good at it. She's one of the ones pushing the thing. So like, I want to try to do that.
Yeah.
Like if I can gape and she can gape, like we can both gape. One day I am going to
have you ever performed with her?
No, I've wanted to so bad. She got injured in a car accident recently, recently. So everybody go buy her porn and give her money.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, she, man, like a foggy mountain night and she like flew off a cliff in her car or some shit like that. Ugh.
Ooh, that's scary.
Oh.
Yeah. She's alive. She's okay.
Hope she's okay. Yeah. That would really change the tone of this if she wasn't okay.
Yeah, no, she's okay. She's okay.
she's doing all right. So the trajectory of the film, we eat some Fruit Loops out of her butthole. She eats Fruit Loops out of her own butthole, like has her friends.
Do you think Fruit Loops were the safest shape to eat out of her butthole? Like, you don't want to eat Frosted Flakes out of a butthole.
Yeah, I guess that's good because they stay intact. You know, like they're not going to like melt as quickly as like
what
other substances.
What if you ate Captain Crunch out of a butthole? That's the most dangerous thing I've ever heard.
It's like exfoliating a butthole.
I can't even eat it with my mouth.
Cereal? I feel like cereal in general. I was like, cereal, you chew it when it's dry enough. It can cut the roof of your mouth. Yeah. I was scared.
I was a little afraid for her butthole. And just
hey, let's
the
put
rough
Tostitos in your asshole, too.
yeah, right? Like, I was like, can we do oatmeal? Can we
croutons.
Start off something easy with it? Like,
yeah.
My God, can we do porridge?
Go with some, like, peanut butter Captain Crunch or some like Kix. They're round all the way.
Oh, Kix. Uh-huh. There we go. Kix would have been good.
Yeah. Kix like keep their texture. Although those do sort of like get soppy at a point, you know, and like lose some of their structure, which might, you know, make for a different effect in the video.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What were you going to say?
I have to say, I just would love to know like the history of that. Like, how do they come up with this? You know, like, who came up with this idea?
Just look up anal acrobats.
Yeah.
Anal acrobats.
Okay. Will.
You mentioned that earlier. I think it's a canon
mine.
That we need
believe,
to better acquaint ourselves with.
They were directed by Jay Sin for Evil Angel.
Okay.
And another one of the legend moments from one of those movies is where, I think it's Bobby Dylan, is in pile driver position, and she's got her legs sort of back by her head. She's holding her butt up and it just looks like a gape. You can't really see this, like what appears to be a plastic, like glass cup in her butthole. But her butthole is just open. And right above her on a putting green, this guy goes, like puts a ball into her butthole.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
It's great.
Oh my God. That's insane.
Yeah.
Briefly going back. Sorry, what were you going to say?
Oh, no, go ahead.
I was going back to the unique talents of Roxy in the Fruit Loops video. I think the part of the video that blew my mind the most. So she's taken Fruit Loops into her asshole. Mm-hmm. They've taken the speculum out, and she's now being, like, fucked by a dick. So she's, like, getting fucked, and it's, like, potentially, like, just, like, pushing the Fruit Loops deeper in. And then her friend sucks off, like starts to give a blowjob to the guy that had been fucking her, and she shoots the fucking Fruit Loops out of her asshole, and like milk splashes the face of the woman giving head to this guy. And I just was like, this is, you could not have asked, like, like how does someone do that with their asshole? Like, this is fucking.
She essentially farts out the Fruit Loops and the milk.
Yeah.
It was gnarly.
But just with like a trajectory that was truly impressive. I don't know if I could like spit with that much skill, let alone shoot milk out of my asshole.
So when you find yourself face down, ass up in the shower one day with a butthole full of water because you've learned to enema really well, you will also learn that the opposite of gaping is that contraction.
Uh-huh.
And that same thing that Hazel Grace had to fight against is shooting Fruit Loops right out of your butthole.
It's God, it's so strong. I was also like couldn't handle when she was laughing and like it like shot up.
You could see her like her ass muscles are like giggling as she was laughing, and it was like
it's like
jostling
is,
the
like,
cereal ball. Just also she stays in that pile incredibly flexible. She just stays with her ass up. for the whole 7-minute video, just like chilling, just very flexible, yeah. Impressive.
She was really relaxed. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
God damn it. She's a fucking pro.
Yeah.
Wow.
Very impressive. Well, anything else anyone wants to just say about gaping?
Yeah, wow. I mean, I would love to be able, I mean, I aspire to one day be able to have an asshole that would allow me to gape. I'm going to work towards that.
Practice.
Believe in yourself.
Really.
Believe in your
people
dreams.
People ask me all the time, yeah. Like, how did you get there?
Yeah.
And it is just practice. And like, if you want to gape, push up, but then relax.
Yeah.
You know, when you bear down and go, it pushes all of your intestines and like things up and out toward your butthole.
Yeah.
And then if you can relax that quickly afterward, the gravity will go and like make it go the other way. And that extra weight kind of tugging on it.
Yeah.
Will
yeah.
Also make your like butthole open up. Other pro tip, get a speculum, get an anal speculum, get something that like.
Would you recommend the one that Roxy used? That one had such a like vintage.
There's so
it looks a little scary.
So that's called like the Sakuri speculum.
Mm.
I've only been able to find them online. They're hard to find, and they're hard to even find the name of that one specifically. It's got two different mechanisms for opening. One opens up like a beak, and then once the beak is opened, you can also expand the back to make it get wider. That way.
Yeah. And it's like little tiny cranks.
Right.
Like it's like a metal apparatus. Yeah.
And so that's why speculums are so good, because when you get to that point, you can just like, okay, relaxed.
Really,
and like you wait there, just wait. It holds your butthole open. So you get used to having that like air feeling in your stomach. Yeah, getting used to the gape is another element of it. But just little tiny cranks.
Very cool. Little tiny cranks.
Practice makes perfect.
Practice makes perfect.
You know?
10,000 hours of anal and you too can become a master.
Well, Michael, thank you so much for coming on the show and talking about your butthole with us. We really, really love it.
Thank you so much. I had such a fun time.
Oh, and we're such big fans.
Yeah.
And everyone that's listening, please go to peghim.com and support
Michael Vegas.
Thank you so much. Sincerely, two are the type of women that I am trying to show the guys that are afraid of anal that exist out there.
Yeah.
There are truly women that love this and share your fetish. And if you are able to be brave and open enough and talk about it, you too can get fucked in the ass by someone that you want to.
Yeah.
That's truly how you get it. You talk about it openly.
Yeah. I love that. I was going to say, last thing before we wrap up, just that like it's such a cool gift that your specific fetish, like this thing that you like and like enjoy doing, is also like a growing interest and a growing appeal on the other side. I mean, like there are more and more women who want to explore anal play with their male partners, and it's just fucking exciting to have like so much content and this conversation to like open up those conversations for people who are potentially interested. We have a ton of people write in and say like, I listen with my partner and it's really fun and educational. So like maybe, you know, an angel grew their wings today and we'll try this after listening to this episode. Great. I certainly hope so.
I hope so too.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Michael.
Thank you.
This has been Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Pern. That's porn without the O. On Twitter at GOP the podcast. Also at girlsonporn.com.
Just a reminder to rate, review, subscribe. Write into us. We love to hear from you guys.
Yeah.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's
good for anyone.
Good. I believe it is actually the opposite
of the other GOP.
The largest standing GOP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks, y'all. Love you.
That was a HeadGum podcast.